The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back, Friday, March 22nd, 2024. I am Seth Leibson. Happy Friday. We'll try and make it a fun Friday if we can. We've got some great guests, including Marshall Trimble. He is Arizona's official state historian, and he is a lot of fun. We'll have him in our second hour. Mr. Bill, hello. David Dahl, hello. Miss Terry, hello. 602-508-0960 for the rest of you. Many of you are familiar with my updated list of George Orwell's doublethink, that freedom is slavery, war is peace, and ignorance is strength. And it's important to remember, in 1984, those phrases are etched into the Ministry of Truth, of all places. My list runs something like this. Speech is violence. Violence is mostly peaceful. Peacefully and patriotically marching is insurrection. Gender changing is gender affirming. Keeping hands off a body is having clinicians operate in it. Wanting those hands off the body is putting hands on it. Colorblindness is racism. Discrimination is anti-racism. Voter suppression means more voters voting. Building back better means higher gas prices for your car and food shortages for your babies and tampon shortages for women and menstruating men. Today, Constantine Kissin, who I like very much, adds, diversity equals no white people, inclusion equals exclusion, anti-racism equals racism, and progress equals going backwards. We were talking about a lot of this yesterday, and the reason I was thinking about it again today is because it gets us used to living by lies. And we are told throughout our entire culture not to live with lies. Don't deal in lies is a powerful notion. You get it from the Bible, from Rudyard Kipling's poem, If. So many places. Live a lie and you will live to regret it is a song of Jimmy Buffett's called Be Good and You Will Be Lonesome. Solzhenitsyn, live not by lies. It's everywhere in almost every culture and faith. And yet we live them and in them, don't we? And we suffer the trauma for it. And yes, there is trauma. That is to say, it can drive its victims as much as society crazy, literally crazy. Trauma, by the way, comes from the Greek word for psychic wound. Headline, Daily Beast. Yes, men can have periods and we need to talk about them. Wikipedia has an entire entry, male menstruation. NBC, title, headline, for transgender men, pain of menstruation is more than just painful. The idea that sex is not binary and is assigned by a human is something we are all just supposed to accept. And if we question it, we're told questioning it is violence. I remember when Ben Shapiro told his truth about this to a transgender woman, a bodybuilder, that bodybuilder threatened to send Ben Shapiro to the hospital. So Ben's words were the violent act, and the peaceful response was the threat to beat him up. You know this because the audience cheered the person who threatened to beat Ben up. Somehow, when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez asks Congress to expel fellow members because they are responsible for, in her phrase, almost 10 people's deaths on January 6, we're supposed to accept that. One person was killed on January 6, being shot for breaking and entering while unarmed. But we're supposed to accept she had it coming and was one of the several deaths inspired by her team. But there were no deaths other than the woman breaking and entering that took place on January 6th. And the other deaths were due to natural causes and suicides. And there weren't almost 10. There were 5, or almost half of that. After January 6th, unrelated to it, but by people who just happened to be there. And it wasn't an insurrection. And Donald Trump did not call for it. And it wasn't an effort to stop the peaceful transfer of power, the phrase you keep hearing, coming as it did 18 days before the transfer of power day, which came and went without incident. We are supposed to believe that truly violent riots were mostly peaceful, irrespective of the 30 deaths they caused and the 14,000 arrests engendered in 2020. But that was in the name of a Marxist organization, so the lies pervade and persevere. Somehow we're supposed to believe it's okay to teach our country wasn't founded in 1776, but some year about 150 years or so earlier, that nobody in 1776 or 1787 ever would have thought about. And somehow we're supposed to believe that Donald Trump colluded with Russians to steal the election in 2016, though all evidence shows this was an invention by the DNC using white shoe law firms to create and then cover up the genesis of the story that upon investigation by Robert Mueller found no evidence. Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi still hew to the fake story, but we're supposed to believe them on that while Donald Trump is responsible for something called a big lie. Somehow we're supposed to believe it's okay for American military generals to tell us they read Marx and Lenin to better understand America, and then when said general gives strategic positioning of the American military to a communist regime, that all is supposed to be okay. Somehow we're supposed to believe that children are to be listened to when they want to change their sex, though they are not to be listened to when they don't want to wear a mask or take a needle shot in their arm over a virus that is less harmful to them than the annual flu. Somehow we were supposed to believe what Anthony Fauci said about the virus, though he had been wrong in misdirecting us over the course of 3 years and about 20 different times. Somehow we're supposed to laud and trust Anthony Fauci when he admits to lying to the public about things like herd immunity and tells us he lied to us because he didn't think we could handle the truth. And somehow we're supposed to accept his statement that listening to science meant listening to him. Somehow we're supposed to believe that it's okay for the CDC to change the definition of the word vaccine on their website overnight with no press release or explanation until it's discovered by outsiders. Somehow we're supposed to believe that your vaccination kept me safe, though the study the CDC issued justifying that notion showed 4 out of 5 hospitalizations of their test group were of the vaccinated, with a stated conclusion that the vaccinated have the same viral load as the unvaccinated and can spread the virus. Somehow we're supposed to believe that words are violent while being told that violence is words, if it's coming from the right side. Somehow we're supposed to believe that a country that achieved 90% of what it should have in civil rights, according to Barack Obama in 2007, is now somehow systemically racist through and through, even after his 2 election victories over the 2 most famous Caucasian Republican politicians, not just in this country, but in the world. Somehow we're supposed to believe that the exit from Afghanistan was an extraordinary success. That's the phrase Joe Biden uses. But to deny everything seen by our own eyes and told us by those left behind. Somehow we're supposed to believe Joe Biden is running this country and in control of his faculties. Somehow we're supposed to believe that it's okay to do business with a country engaged in modern-day extermination and slavery of a minority population because it's good for the NBA profit margins, and that it's okay to silence people who raise the concern, and that such corporations like Nike and Coca-Cola have some moral authority here when they weigh in on our domestic politics as they lobby Congress not to sanction Chinese use of slave labor, while it is incumbent on every other American to beat his or her breast and change our national anthem and all curriculum in schools because a minority of this country engaged in slavery that ended by dint of the majority of this country over 150 years ago. And somehow we're supposed to believe that this is called teaching truth. And somehow we're supposed to believe that when we were in school, slavery and its lingering badges were not covered in our textbooks or taught in our schools. We're supposed to believe one of the most generous and moral countries in the world is committing genocide while we ignore the countries that actually are. Somehow we're to believe that less cops equal less crime and that those who say cops are pigs should be given multi-million-dollar contracts and specials on Netflix to lecture us on humanity. We're supposed to believe and led to believe that Customs and Border Patrol had to end horse patrols because they used their horse reins to beat immigrants, though they didn't and never would. We're supposed to believe the border is secure as well. We're supposed to believe Joe Biden only 2 years ago when he told CNN if you get vaccinated, you won't get sick or go to the hospital or die, or that no other remediations or therapies could work, though scientific journal after scientific journal shows in some cases they do. And by the way, those who say that are spreading conspiracy theories. We're supposed to believe this, and we're supposed to believe that it's okay to be censored for saying things like what I just said. This is not a small issue. One can be wrong or lie about public policy again and again and again, but so long as it's in the service of the party, capital P, we will just no longer recognize the truth at all. Or as Orwell put it, the party depends on the thought police. Let that sink in. As Vaclav Havel put it, if the main pillar of the system is living a lie, then it is not surprising that the fundamental threat to it is living the truth. And this is why the truth must be suppressed more severely than anything else. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, young David. We are getting ready for Tuesday here, March 26th, fighting for freedom. Mike Gallagher will be in town with us, Brandon Tatum, myself, some other special guests will be on stage with y'all at Arizona Christian University, y'all that get tickets, that is to say. Y-Refi has generously underwritten the general admission tickets so that we are able to offer them at the lowest price we've ever offered an event ticket for, 960thepatriot.com to get those. We also have VIP tickets available, and it's going to be a great event. There's some other stuff we need to know about it, right, young David?
What else would you like to know about it?
There's one other.
I'm happy to tell everything.
The discount code? Is there?
Of course. Yes. We're having a 2-for-1
yeah.
discount code. After all, this event is only 4 days away, so we're happy to give you, our listeners of the Seth Show, and our Patriot insiders out there who are listening, a 2-for-1 coupon code. Just use the code APPRECIATION at checkout. APPRECIATION. Put one ticket in your cart. Use the code APPRECIATION. And another ticket of the exact same ticket level, any ticket level, will appear in your cart.
Nice. Nice. 960thepatriot.com, March 26th, Arizona Christian University. Young David and I and Mike Gallagher and Brandon Tatum will see ya there. It's going to be a great event. What do you want me to talk about?
What do I want you to talk about?
Fighting for freedom. I have a lot to say about it. Yeah.
About fighting for freedom?
I do have a lot to say about it.
You have a lot to talk about with freedom.
I do.
Okay, well, I think there will be a lot to talk about because if I understand things correctly, RFK Jr. will be announcing his running mate around the same time the event will be happening.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Do you have a speculation as to who that is supposed to be or going to be?
I think most people would find it funny
if
Aaron Rodgers ran with him,
which
there was a talk about, but I don't think that is going to happen.
Well, I think it makes it unserious, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he wants to be serious, and that makes it unserious. So who else you got? I'll tell you who I think he has a shot at obtaining, and I think would be good for him for his candidacy. And I think it's Tulsi Gabbard. I think that makes a lot of sense for him.
You think that she would go more with RFK and less with Donald Trump?
I do. I do. I don't know that she ever joined the Republican. I don't think she did.
She is not.
No, she never did join the Republican Party.
Yeah.
I think they probably see a lot of the same things the same way. I'm just thinking about her positions and his. Very still much socially liberal, both very much anti, anti-corruption, what they would refer to as the cartel system of the two political parties. I don't buy into this stuff, by the way. I don't want you to know. I'm just trying to think of it. I'm trying to think it through for what might happen. There's been talk of Jesse Ventura. Talk about unserious. Man, that guy is he's a kook.
Well, now, wait a minute, Seth. He had a lot of executive experience as the former governor of Montana.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
But, yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, I know. He's a kook, though. Everything he's said since then and written about, I mean, he's just a nut.
I will say one thing, though. Yeah. Whomever he chooses, I think this will hammer the nail into the coffin of all the speculation that was around for a couple of months over a Trump-Kennedy ticket.
Yeah, that's over, for sure.
Well, as soon as you have a running mate, you've got to essentially abandon them if you were ever to call to answer the call of Trump or something, you know?
Answer the call with Dahl. You're not old enough.
Answer the call?
With Dahl.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not old enough.
But then I'll be the one making the call.
Yeah, I know. That's your Instagram.
Yes, that is my Instagram.
People can watch
lots and lots of cooking videos.
Yeah, they're great. They're
We've got fried chicken upcoming and more goodies.
Oh, you're doing a fried chicken?
You saw it in the office yesterday.
I did?
Yes, you even commented on it.
What did I say?
You said, you don't have a deep fryer. And I said, well, yes, I fried this in a pasta vat.
You really did? How long did it take?
Deep frying doesn't take too long.
No, but to get the oil all boiling and everything, it doesn't take long at all? What kind of oil?
Canola.
Yeah? And it worked? It's good?
Yeah. I finished it all.
All right.
It's heating up.
What kind of music are you going to put to it?
Southern music, yeah. I suppose.
Nice.
If we can find something
appropriate. Yeah, I'm sure there's some... Yeah. Probably. Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of... I mean, there's no shortage. Chicken. A little bit of chicken fry. Okay, one of the things I did want to talk about before the week ended is the frenzy that I often talk with y'all about here that we're put in. You know, it's kind of a bete noir of mine. And frenzy is, I think it's the best word to describe what the media and the left tries to put us through. You know the word frenetic? It comes from that. Phrenesis, you know, it means delirious, a disease of the head, madness. And it's manifest in many different ways. One of them is the continual alarums and excursions over the story of the day, the biggest story of the day, the breaking news of the day, only to find no coverage the next day or the day after that or really ever again. We are put through so much of that, and it keeps us from a lot, among other things, it keeps us from the ability to actually just focus and center on the important stuff or things that should be important or even things that they tell us are important only until they shift to the next major crisis they want us to be consumed with. And I fear that what happens in this frenzy, among a lot of other problems, societal delirium being one of them, you know, the craziness of our society, literal mental problems we have, mental health issues we have that I think come from some of this that put us in a state of, I don't know, some kind of shock or news media PTSD and digital fentanyl and all that stuff when the real fentanyl is not covered. And that would be one thing to center on. But there are so many things. One of them was the testimony earlier this week at the House Oversight Committee with Tony Bobulinski, who was Hunter Biden's business partner. And it was important testimony that was given, and important things were said. And I suppose because they were important, they didn't get covered. I suppose that's kind of what, from the direction of one narrative, has kept the media from sharing it with us. Unless you saw it on Fox or watched C-SPAN, it would be a tree in the forest falling. And I want to say something about that when we come back, lest it come and go with no consequence, because it should have consequence. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Everything okay back there? I get nervous when I see the two of you gesticulating and panicking like that. No
gesticulate.
Panic?
Gesticulate.
Everything going okay?
Sounds like a song from, what am I thinking of here? Kismet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Let's get out of this by going to Rick and Mesa. Hi, Rick. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Seth. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What's on your mind?
Well, I just turned on your show and heard you talking about the news and what they feed us. And over the weekend, I listened to a guy by the name of Mike Benz from the Foundation for Freedom Online. And that's what his foundation does, is kind of tracks the stuff that we're fed and, you know, where it comes from and how it's all manipulated.
Oh.
And it's when I heard it, I kind of thought about calling your show, and then I turn on your show, and that's what you're talking about. So one of the things I've always liked about your show is it's a lot more organic than the GMO pesticide riddled stuff we get on the most of the news.
Thank you.
So I just kind of wanted to call and mention his name. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Tell me his name again, maybe. But it rings a faint bell. Tell me the name again. Mike Benz?
It's Mike, B-E-N-Z. Mike Benz, and it's the Foundation for Freedom Online.
Yeah, okay.
And the talk I heard, kind of started after World War II and how the military-industrial complex, used media for certain things and how it's evolved. And, to me, if I explain it, it'll sound like a tinfoil hat. But if you listen to him explain it and who he is and his background, I thought it was very credible.
Okay. All right. I know it's ringing a bell. I'll double check on it. What I will say is, one of the really good things about the conservative movement, by default or by defense, I don't know, by posture we've been put in, I guess that's how I'd say it, by the posture we've put in, because the media pushes so hard against us, the mainstream media pushes so hard against us, the legacy media perhaps is the better phrase for it, that it has driven us to work harder at understanding a story or understanding an ethos behind a story or the motivation behind a story. We've become better researchers, I think. We have taken news more seriously, I think. If you put a somewhat educated liberal or leftist in a room with a equally or somewhat educated conservative to have a conversation about current affairs, I will guarantee you 9 times out of 10, the conservative will know about more stories, will know more things, because they've been forced to. There's a lot of things they don't think are right that they have to go and do their own research on. A lot of things they read and hear about that they got to go and do their own research on. There's a lot of things that we don't take for granted anymore. You see it with elected and appointed officials too, don't you? You see it when, this is one of any number of examples I could give you, but it's the one I just can't let go of because it was such an offense to the category of not only current events, but the category of the entirety of the third institution of government, the judiciary. And it was when Justice Sonia Sotomayor, during oral argument on a COVID case, completely misstated by a factor of by a double-digit factor, a statistic about children and hospitalizations, that even if you didn't really know that much but had a little common sense, you just would know couldn't possibly be true. And she pushed it into a question over during oral argument in front of the Supreme Court. They just read stuff. She probably read it from a clerk, or she probably read it from some passing comment or letter to the editor in the Washington Post or something like that. And it just gets the story gets bruited about and never rethought. And of course, we all seized on it because we did know better and we did know differently, because we are forced to know better and know differently. When they, want you to live by lies, as Vaclav Havel said, and I quoted earlier in my monologue, they will try and do everything they can to suppress the truth, because truth is the great enemy of the lie. But that is what puts us in our boots and on our horses quicker than anything else. Anyway, just some thoughts. Thanks an awful lot. Really appreciate it, Rick. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Young David, what did you learn this week? Or what does your political pin say? Either way. You don't have one.
Oh, my goodness. I'm wearing my authentic 1970s Dirty Drummer t-shirt, though.
Yeah.
Maybe 1980s, yeah.
You think it was 1980s?
Probably. I mean, based on the material and the feel of it, it's definitely got a little polyester in there, too, so, you know.
That could have been 70s.
Yeah, but they started in the late 70s.
75.
So. Is that right?
Yeah.
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 Their Tempe location opened up in 1980.
Yeah.
I saw that the other day. They put it on their Instagram.
And they have?
And I figured it out.
Yeah? What?
The painting over the pool table at the 44th and Oak Street is an original painting of the Tempe location of the Dirty Drummer.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have Marshall Trimble join us in the next hour. You want to
ask him all about the Dirty Drummer?
No, well, you wanted to ask him about the Al Beetle stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, haven't you seen that White Gates is going to be torn down if nobody does anything about it?
I know.
The famous house up on Camelback Mountain, and if I can say anything to the city of Phoenix right now, it's please save it. I was just up there over the weekend. I took some pictures with a buddy, and we'll probably put those on Instagram or something as an act of cultural protest or something.
Okay. Yeah, I grew up across the street from an Al Beetle house.
Across the street?
From one, not that one, but from another one.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, it was called Beetle House 11, if you want to look it up. It's still there.
I will.
Yeah, I grew up across from it. Kind of off 44th.
I'm a big fan of his architecture.
You like his stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
You would. You like that kind of clean, modernist.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not into architecture that much, are you? Are you?
Little.
Little? Okay.
You used to make personal fun of me for the fact that I like a building downtown that you say looks like a punch card.
Oh, it's an ugly building.
The Phoenix Financial Center is a very pretty building.
It was designed to look like a punch card. No, deliberately it was. You knew that, right?
No, I didn't.
Deliberately it was. Okay, thank you for that. I think. I was talking about the Bob Alinsky hearing earlier in the week. Because, you know, we used to care about scandals in our presidents in this country. We used to. You know, if it was Halliburton during the Bush administration, we cared. If it was about 30 things that were conjured up during the Trump administration, we cared, especially what involved the president's family. Especially when it involved the president's family. When it was Nixon, we cared. And we just seemed to stop. Isn't it interesting? We just seemed to stop. Especially over lies, clear lies, that were told by Joe Biden during the campaign about corruption, foreign money, and business dealings with regard to his family, and not just his son. But his brother and his own bank account. Are you familiar with Joe Biden's private sector work? It was mostly nonprofit stuff after he left the vice presidency. Mostly after he left the vice presidency. And of course, he's entitled to make money when he's no longer on the public dole. But his net worth has been estimated as up to $40 million. $40 million. And one wonders a little bit about that since he was only not in the public sector for a period of 4 years. $10 million bucks a year is pretty good when you've... I mean, okay, being the vice president and the senator, United States senator, okay, it gives you a lift for sure for contract work, speech work, and book writing. I get that. But Bob Alinsky has the goods on all this. He's been vetted and vetted and vetted. And Joe Biden has lied and lied and lied. And I just thought his testimony this week deserves to last a little longer than the 5 hours that it did earlier this week when he testified. Powerline has a great write-up of it. And so just let me take this call. Oh, is that what you're texting me? Because our other system is down. Okay, Ryan. I'm going to Ryan in Scottsdale. Hi, Ryan. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well. I think actually my wish that I'm going to ask for would lead to you not being on my favorite radio station anymore.
Oh.
But that is that I would love to hear you in long-form podcasts extrapolating out about the Phoenix Financial Building, because I also love that building. And funny enough, I knew something of the punch card, but did you also know that something like the top five levels were added on many years later, I think in the 80s or somewhere late 80s?
Really? No, I did not know that.
I picked up a book, a coffee table type book, of historic Phoenix buildings, and it had some of the surrounding areas. And I remember reading a bit about that, but to hear you talk about it, I said, who reminded him to get back on subject? I hate that person. No.
You wanted me to talk about the Phoenix Financial Center more than Tony Bobulinski, huh?
I was into it more. Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah.
You know, I should do a I should do a segment, or maybe even an hour, on Phoenix architecture. Architecture is fascinating here. And we have some great famous architects, obviously Frank Lloyd Wright, but also, are you familiar with Paulo Soleri's work and the whole underground movement and all that stuff?
Not at all, no.
Check out Paulo Soleri.
I would need to speak for investors for your podcast, Seth, I'm telling you.
You're
right now.
You really think there's a market for me in podcasting on architecture, huh?
Okay. Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. Your voice is entertaining. Your knowledge is beyond measure.
We would call it the Art Vandelay Show, I think.
Plus, you have wonderful conversations with people. I mean, everyone who calls your show, but certainly people of note, when they speak to you, I think you get a lot out of them, and it's very interesting.
Well, you're just so kind. This is a great. I don't want to hang up here. You are very good for my ego. Thank you, Ryan. You can call anytime and take me on any topic anytime, because I don't think anything really is off topic. You were making fun of a little bit, David, saying who got me back on topic. I really don't think anything is off topic. It's all our territory. I love this line from, you know, after the Battle of Gettysburg, what was it? General Meade cabled Lincoln. Lincoln had pressed Meade to press the enemy over back across and across the Potomac, and Meade and to chase them all the way down. And Meade said, "Well, we at least, though we didn't chase them all the way back, got them off our territory." And Lincoln turns to his secretary, John Hay, and says, "When will my generals ever understand it's all our territory?" By the way, speaking of architecture, John Hay is the Hay in the Hay Adams Hotel in Washington. We'll be right back. Portions of this show brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. They offer up a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio where, best of all, you can earn up to 10.25% as a fixed rate of return. And by the way, it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. With YRefi, there are absolutely no fees. With YRefi, there is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. Of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises. You can turn your income on or off, compound it, whatever you like. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or call them at 888-YREFI-24. Also, through their generosity, they helped underwrite our March 26 Fighting for Freedom event with Mike Gallagher, Brandon Tatum, and myself. So we are offering tickets at the lowest prices we've ever offered tickets for any event based on the generosity of YREFI. You can get those tickets at 960thepatriot.com. The event is Tuesday. I'll be there with Mike Gallagher, Brandon Tatum, Young David will be there. And Tim Andrews walks by and walks in. Tim, you'll be there. How are you, sir?
I am good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay.
Those tickets are going really fast.
960thepatriot.com. One of the differences between you and me is you have this very fancy corner office here. And it has a door.
A door.
And I like to come by and say hi to you from time to time.
Yes, you do. I really appreciate
you don't.
That.
You don't. That's the lie. Because you will often point to me the fact that you're on a call, even though I can't tell that you're on a call. Mysteriously, your wife calls on your cell phone without it ringing when I show up. Mysteriously. Oh, wait, I got to take this from my wife. You're always talking about a conference call. You have to get on the minute I show up. But, you know, okay, fine. My world here, yeah, I'm mass communicating with, you know, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people. You want to come in? You are welcome here. I just want you to know you are always welcome here and to join me in conversation.
I always feel welcome here, Seth, okay, and I apologize. I'd like to have you over for a barbecue, maybe Sunday night.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Finley's.
Finley's?
Yeah.
Feeney's.
Feeney's.
Well, that sounds like a fun place. Yeah.
Finley's might be a place, too.
Because I have been craving that steak ever since you sent me a picture of it.
Oh, yeah, we got to go.
Yeah.
We got to go. Yeah. You can have a good weekend?
I am going to have a good weekend. There's not much going on in the Andrews residence other than family fun and frolicking.
The three Fs, like fighting for freedom.
Fighting for freedom.
Good
get
work,
your
guys.
Tickets right now at 960thepatriot.com. Use code APPRECIATION for 2-for-1 tickets.
Marshall Trimble coming up. We'll be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.